Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve.
Okay, so for everybody listening, Pastor Heber just gave me the entire, 50 questions.
I did.
I love it, though. I love it. Thank you, and I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on to the show.
I appreciate you.
Some hand clapping, so when I say that, it can be some...
That'd be nice.
Yes. So welcome. So here's the thing. For everybody who do not know who you are, The reason that I invited you on the show, one of the reasons that I appreciate the work that you do, not only as a pastor, but as a community leader, is because I always see you involved, not just in the church, but outside of the church and taking the church outside the walls, which is important to me. Mm-hmm. But that we don't see often. And in addition, when we do see it, usually there's some drama associated with it. But I've never seen you involved in any drama.
Listen, knock on all the wood you have in your house right now. It's my prayer it stays like that. It really is. You know.
So for those who don't know you, can you tell us just a little bit about you?
Yep, a little bit. Born and raised in Baltimore. I am the son and grandson of preachers. I'm the nephew of preachers. I'm the basically preachers all in the family.
Got it.
And I followed that path as well. Went to seminary after undergrad at Morgan State. In seminary, I went to Virginia Union University, got my master's in divinity, and then finished out a few years back and got my doctor of ministry degree from Wesley Theological Seminary. During
you
that time,
they just call you Reverend Doctor.
Yeah, I'm a Reverend Doctor. Ain't that something? That's so crazy. Yeah, it still takes some getting used to. But yeah, I'm a Reverend Doctor and the pastor of a beautiful church in Baltimore called the Pleasant Hope Baptist Church. And I say it's a beautiful church. It's a beautiful congregation. In part because of what you just said. And you said every time you see me, I'm out. You can see me in the community. I appreciate, you know, your kind words about me. But that's also because of the kind of church I pastor. There are a lot of churches that would not allow or would not be cool with their pastor being as active beyond the walls as I am. And so I'm grateful for that. I've been the pastor of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church now for 8 going on 9 years.
Wow.
The time has really flown. And the church is located in North Baltimore. During my time pastoring, I've also started 2 ventures. One called Aretha's Cross Freedom School. It's a youth program, educational program, building off the freedom school history of the 1960s in this country. What we do is we purpose to raise the next generation of change makers. Mm-hmm. So that means we bring young people together, even Black youth together, to embrace African heritage, Black history, social justice, and to see themselves as the change makers that we need right now. And in fact, our motto is that we're raising the next generation of change makers. What we do is we bring our young people together on days when public school is closed, you know, those professional development days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of young folks just sitting home, we open up Freedom School. They come to the church. Spring break, they come to the church. Summer camp, come to the church. And we do full day programming around not only an appreciation of African heritage and Black history studies, but also around, and you'll appreciate this, self-reliance. So we're teaching young people, for instance,
Kuji Chagalia.
Come on now. Sewing, herbalism, construction, farming and agriculture. We have young people 5, 6, 7 years old who know how to make elderberry syrup.
Oh,
fix a button on your shirt.
Okay, now that you know my next question was where can we get the entrepreneurship coming in?
Where can we get it?
Yes. Who's
when
teaching
you come
that?
To my school, you are. Come on.
Okay, let me now. Don't play, because I know
you cannot say that kind of stuff. You'd be like at the door. He said, "Come." Yeah, so yeah, I will send you dates and let's pull that together for the school. Then finally, so I started the school about 4 years ago now, and then last year launched the Black Church Food Security Network. In a nutshell, what I do is I serve as a bridge and broker to bring together pastors and Black farmers to create an alternative pipeline for fresh produce to go from soil to sanctuary, cutting out the middlemen or the grocery stores, that kind of good stuff. We can feed ourselves. We can pay our farmers. We can know the people who are growing our food and know the people who are eating our food. It has multiple benefits, nutritional, economic, socio-political, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the latest venture that I'm really excited about as well.
That's awesome. How did you get involved in all this?
You know what? Paying attention to my own story. Just really being in tune with once I really reflected on my journey, I started seeing patterns and themes over and over and over again. And some things began to crystallize for me in terms of why I'm here. Mm. I followed the things that got on my last half a nerve.
Yes.
And when I kept on digging, I found my purpose down there. And so those nagging problems pushed me to my purpose and a passion around that unique fingerprint that I am here to leave on this world. That before I'm gone, and by the time I'm gone, there will be a mark on this world that I uniquely left and that nobody else could leave. And so,
love that you say that.
Yeah.
I have one of my business partners, actually the one who does my branding stuff, my branding consulting.
Oh, cool.
She has a group of questions that basically ask what pisses you off? What makes you the angriest? What makes you the saddest? And what makes you the happiest? Mm. And using that line of questioning, that's actually how she helps you to identify what your purpose is and what you're actually supposed to be here for by those things. And I love that you say that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so that's my story. And so when I started digging, I found out that I was really pissed off that I went through K-12 education. Mm-hmm. I get to the campus of Morgan State as an 18-year-old kid, and I get there and I realize that there was a whole lot that I did not know about my history. Mm. And I felt cheated. I still remember to this day feeling cheated that I had a little piece of paper from high school saying I was smart. But I get to college and I realize, wait a minute, I don't know the stuff I should know. And for years, I spent time critiquing the Baltimore City public school system based on my experience. Mm-hmm. And then something happened, Natisha. When I crossed from my 20s into my 30s, mm-hmm. my early 30s was a time for me when I heard this revelation in my spirit. And it pushed me beyond just critiquing the systems of this world. And the line said, critique what is, create what should be.
Yes.
So when I hit my early 30s, that's when I started focusing more and more on creating what should be as my response to the stuff that, as you said, the stuff that pissed me off coming up. In my 20s, I was pissed off at everything. I was pointing at everybody. They wrong. That's wrong. That's whack. That's my 20s. And I learned a whole lot in my 20s, but that's what I led with in my 20s. I hit 30 and something started to shift like, wait a minute, you ain't going to be here long. Mm-hmm. I know you got to worry about what everybody else doing wrong, but what you going to do?
Yeah.
So that keeps me out of trouble too. Natisha, you said, I don't hear no scandal around your name. I'm too busy to get in trouble. Building institutions and businesses like you're doing take time and focus and energy. And you really lose a desire to be involved in anything. Like, I'm really stingy with my energy because I need every ounce of it to build institutions that I'm praying my children's children's children will still be able to walk into and benefit from.
I understand.
Yeah.
Wow, that is huge. I love it. I was going to ask what drives you, but it sounds like, I'm going to ask you anyway so you can tell me, so I don't put no words in your mouth.
What drives me? You know what? Eternal life. Drives me. And not just in that little Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, oh, I accept Jesus Christ, I'm saved. I ain't talking about that. Eternal life in the sense of, for instance, we are talking about Harriet Tubman to this day and what she did, mm-hmm. Carter G. Woodson and what he did.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, this might sound crazy, I'm trying to be at that level. Mm. I'm trying to do something. I don't necessarily need my name remembered. My family, I pray, remembers my name. But I want my work remembered. If that old church song said, let the work that I've done speak for me. May the work I've done speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want 100, 500 years from now, somebody somewhere to get bored enough to go into a library and say, there was some knotty-haired black preacher in Baltimore named Heber Brown. And the work that I'm doing right now is tied to what he was doing in the early 2000s. Yeah, that's the kind of work I'm trying to do. And legacy too, Natisha. I'm like, just in my family alone, we got people who've been doing some big stuff for a long time. And so I've been inspired since a little boy to reach up to that bar. And my dad even challenged me when I went to Morgan State. The night that I was moving out to go to my dorm, he said, Heber, he said it just like that, Heber. He said, I want you to climb at least one rung higher on the ladder than I did. That's my challenge to you. And he gave that to all of his children. And so we're pushed by our parents and our family as well. So that drives me too.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. So as a leader, what do you think is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned?
That I'm still learning.
That you're still learning?
I'm still learning. To stay in a posture of learning. To stay, it's out of reach. I can't grab it right now, but you see me during the week at church or see me at meetings, I have a book bag and I put my, you know, portfolio and everything. I use a book bag and that book bag is helps to remind me that I'm still a student. So I show up to speak at universities. I show up to lead meetings and facilitate conferences, and I have my book bag with me. Yes, I'm Reverend Doctor. Yes, I'm Pastor. Yes, all that other stuff. But at the essence of it, I'm a student. And the great thing, Natisha, I am super curious. So just like I asked you those 50-11 questions before we even got started, it is because I am genuinely curious. And that curiosity drives me as well as a leader. And I never want to lose that curiosity. I don't want to ever get to the place where I feel like I got it all. I know it all. Whatever. I'm not wired that way. I want to know how you're doing what you're doing. I mean, the people listening, they don't know this, but this almost became my interview of you. just watching the great things that you're doing and watching the degree of focus that you have. And I think that's another thing that leaders it's a benefit to leaders when you can focus. I can't respond to everything in terms of things going on in the world. I can't respond to everything. I can't comment on everything. I'm not writing op-eds about everything. I lived that phase. Now I'm focused. And so I got people now texting me saying, Heber, where you at? I ain't hearing from you no more. You don't be around no more. I'm focused. It ain't personal. I'm gonna get back to you. But if I'm gonna do what my purpose is pushing me to do, I got to have a higher degree of focus to get it done. And right now, you know, as much as I can appreciate Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all that, I really do appreciate it for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it makes things very loud, if you know what I mean. Like it's sometimes it's just noise, right?
Yes.
And if you let it, that noise, and some of your listeners have been right here, they'll read a comment on somebody's Facebook page and they'll comment on it. And before they know it, they look up, a conversation has started and you've been on that thing all day long.
Yep.
And your to-do list has not been given the adequate attention that you said you was going to give it.
Yes.
So that level of focus allows me to block out, you know, be more liberal in blocking out things that I just really don't have time for, or things that are important. And I've learned to say, that is something that somebody else's gift and genius has to address. That's not the good that is set for me to do today.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. How long did it take you to figure that one out?
I just got it like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, 5 minutes ago. You you mentioned that your purpose, the idea of you identifying what your purpose was, came from you really just figuring out what made you angry, what made you the most angry. Yeah. What was the catalyst for that? Because so many people, you know, people just walk through life without really identifying what their purpose is. They just are here. As my one of my mentors say, schlep rocking along.
Yeah. The catalyst. I think for me, it does go back to family in a large measure, that they set such a template that I felt like to be a part of this family means building onto that template. But also, you know what, too? I just don't like a whole lot of talking. Like, if we're going to do it, like, let's do it. And I've been that way for a while now. Like, I was the dude in school. Like, if we're going to fight, let's fight. I ain't fighting, like, the, you know, touch me. Yo, you push me. If you push me, if we're going to do it, let's do it. I have a cousin who says, Heba, I'm so glad you were past that, not a drug dealer. He really does say that. He said, because if you was a drug dealer, you would be the most ruthless, strongest hustle, but the biggest smile drug dealer out. You'd be a kingpin, he tells me. Why spend endless time talking about what people need to be doing? Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. And so my catalyst is I want to be known as a man of action. When they close that box on me, you know, whether people like me or not, whether people appreciate, you know, anything I've done or not, I want folks to say that in that box lies a man of action. He did what he felt called to do and what his purpose pushed him toward.
I love it. Yeah. So how can we support you? Because you got a million things going on.
Dude, you ain't lying. So can I say, you support me. You support me by shining your brilliant light. Because one of the things that I find to be important is feeding off of, being inspired by and feeding off of the examples that others set. Especially when you feel like you're pioneering in some ways, or you know, you're trailblazing in some ways, or trying to at least trailblaze. It's great to see other examples of people who are trailblazing and pioneering in their own ways to be like, all right, that there's a North Star that I can follow, or there's a path that I can look to. And so I'm blessed when people lean into the best and truest versions of themselves. I want to see. That's why I like talking to you. You don't have a whole lot of, you ain't got to go through a whole lot of layers to get to the essence. What's at the core and the kernel of who you are. So that's one way that, you know, people can support me. Be yourself, be your authentic, show up in this world as your authentic self. But in more tangible ways, how can you support? I'm building two institutions right now. And one being the Freedom School. Right now, it's a program, as I said earlier, that is open when public school is closed. However, my students and families are begging me, literally begging, Pastor Brown, make this an independent school. We want to be at this school every single day. And then especially in the political climate that we're in terms of the country, more and more Black parents are saying, I don't want my child going into these schools having to battle and defend, you know, their identity or, you know, the appreciation of their culture. So there's a growing need around developing a committee and tapping into the genius and insight of others to help us move from a youth program, as you said earlier, to a full-blown institution and developing the financial streams to make it sustainable. So on that front, the help, great help is appreciated there. Also with the Freedom School, whenever we're open, coming to do, I mean, we joked about the business entrepreneur piece, but if your listeners have a particular skill, something they do, if they can use their hands to make something, we would love to have them to come and to share workshops with our young people throughout our year. And they can go to areachascross.com to learn more about the Freedom School and see our schedule for the year.
How you spell that?
ORITAS is O-R-I-T-A-S. auritascross.com.
Okay.
Yep. So help is needed there. And then also the Black Church Food Security Network. If you have any farmers listening, if you have any urban growers, even churches or people connected to a church that owns land and might want to start a garden, I'd love to meet with them too. The network is in the earlier phase, so it's in the startup phase. But if you got people who are growing food or people have an interest in nutrition, who can do cooking demos, who do health assessments, congregational health assessments, that kind of thing, I'd love to talk with them as well. And they can go to blackchurchfoodsecurity.net. Long name, I know, I'm going to say it again. blackchurchfoodsecurity.net.
Okay.
Yep.
So we are fortunate that we actually have a global listenership.
Awesome.
So for those who are not in the area,
yes,
what's the best way for them to support the work that you're doing?
Send money. Amen. You can do that if you'd like to make donations.
Okay.
We welcome your donations, but also through the
Both sites.
Yep. On both sites. Also through the marvels of technology, we can look at ways to bring you into the Freedom School via Zoom or you know, whatever the technology, we could do that as well. We
have okay.
internet capabilities. Yeah. So, and then too, especially for both of them, really, invite me to come speak. Invite me to come tell the story. I would love to come. You work at a university, you're working at a college, hospital, wherever, church. I'd love to come. I travel the country speaking about these programs and projects, and it's an amazing network of people that's growing even beyond the Baltimore area that are like, hey, I love what you're doing. Let me support you. Or I want to do that here. How do I do it? Now, I'm not a McDonald's program, meaning
yeah.
I'm not going to fly to your city and say, just do this program in a box. I'm very much so have a very deep commitment to context.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, ask me about Baltimore, I can tell you about Baltimore. I don't know where you are, mm-hmm. but I certainly am more than happy to come and share with you what we've learned here and support you as you start up whatever it is you want to do where you are. I'd love to support you in that.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Heber, again. I'm so appreciative that you took time out your busy tail schedule to come and talk to me.
Listen, when Natisha Willis calls, you answer that phone. And so I'm honored to be speaking with you. I'm putting this on my resume that we did this tonight. And I'm just thankful to watch how your star is just radiating. And so keep up the awesome, awesome work. Like I said, I won't be commenting online a whole lot because I'm focused.
Understood.
But I'm watching you and I appreciate all that you're doing.
I appreciate you. Well, as I always say, freedom requires friends. So for all the listeners, if you need a friend who is an awesome community organizer, active in the community, doing the work, not just talking about the work, definitely please make sure that you go to the websites auritascross.com and blackchurchfoodsecurity.net, both links of which are right below this interview. So thank you again, Pastor Heber.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This episode of the Freedom Friends Show is brought to you by the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge. If you're ready to take back your power and achieve all of your dreams and goals, then join the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge today. That's CoachYadamnSelf.com. CoachYadamnSelf.com.